Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM out of Round Mountain. And this is Jim Dowling along with Bob Christensen and Lily Dubois. We're Scratched Up Radio Theater, and this is what we call Odd Thursday, the fifth Thursday of the month. So it's going to be a different program. We are going to introduce to you what writing and producing radio theater is all about. And maybe when it's all over, you will be enticed to get involved yourself. So we're going to kick it off with a little segment of one of our plays, and we'll get back to our message.
My name's Dick, Richard Dick, and I'm a dick. Private detective, that is. Some say that Dick Dick is a real dick. I am. And I'm proud of it. So call me what you will. My beat is Redding. That's Redding, California. Where's Redding, many ask? I answer that Redding lies in a sweet spot nestled at the tip of the Sacramento Valley with mountains on three sides, lakes nearby, and some of the best views an eye can see. At least when it's not hot and smoky, which it is in the summer. I tell people it gets hot in Redding, real hot, like 100-degree plus hot. But it's a dry heat, if that makes any difference. It was on one really hot summer night that I met Doris. She entered my office like a moonbeam, clad in a white sleeveless summer dress, which clung to the sinuous curves of her very feminine body like saran wrap sticks to the uneaten sandwiches in my icebox. Being the observant Dick I am, I noticed at once she was in trouble.
Are you Mr. Dick?
That's me, Richard Dick. If you need a private detective, you've come to the right place. The beauty began to cry. Tears flowed down from her beautiful green eyes like water down the Sacramento River.
I need help, Mr. Dick. I'm in trouble. Really big trouble.
Sit down, sweetheart. I took a chance in calling her sweetheart. They can get you in a lot of trouble these days. But I decided to risk it. I'm a good judge of character, and my gut told me this dame didn't mind being called sweetheart. What's your name, sweetheart?
Doris. And I'd appreciate it if you don't call me sweetheart.
Sometimes I get it wrong. Okie dokie, Doris. It's getting late and my gut is aching for some chow. So make it short if you can and get to the point. Why do you need a private detective?
It's a long story, Mr. Dick. But I'll try to make it short.
I'm hungry, Missy, so give me the Cliff Notes version.
Please don't call me Missy. My name is Doris.
Okay, honey, go ahead.
It happened last Saturday night. I was by myself, walking over the Sundial Bridge. I often walk alone at night. I like to stand on the bridge, right at the middle, and look down at the fast flowing water. The water level was high and really flowing fast.
You're making me want to go pee, Doris. Get to the point.
Sorry. I'll try. I thought I was alone on the bridge, but I was wrong. As I looked down at the water, the fast-flowing water, I sensed other beings nearby. I was right. There were two men coming from the direction of Turtle Bay, dragging something big. As they got closer, I saw it was a body. They lifted it up over the rail of the bridge and dropped it into the river. It was then that they saw me. My heart sank like an anchor in fast-flowing water.
Doris, if you would excuse me for a moment, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I left her alone in my office. All that talk of fast-flowing water was just too much. When I returned from emptying my bladder, Doris was still in the chair where I'd last seen her. I took a quick glance at my desk to see if anything was missing or out of place. but the pen was where I'd left it, and she hadn't touched the unlit cigar nestled in its ashtray or the bourbon in a glass. Okay, Doris, go on. You were on the bridge and two men dropped what you think was a body into the Sacramento River. What happened then?
After they let go of the body, they noticed me. I panicked. Where would I go? The men were coming from the direction of where my car was parked. I didn't want to go in the opposite direction, as it was dark, and who knows what dangers lurked on the river trail over there. And I certainly didn't want to jump into the water, that fast-flowing water.
Okay, Doris, I stipulate that the water under the bridge was flowing fast. You don't have to keep saying it. I don't want to have to make another trip to the little boy's room if you catch my drift.
Sorry.
So, what did you do?
I froze. My body went limp, Mr. Dick. I simply could not move, no matter how hard I tried. It was hot, real hot, and I was sweating profusely. All I could do was stand there and sweat and watch as these two men, probably murderers, who just disposed of a body, got closer and closer to me.
I pictured her hot and sweating. Not a bad image, I might add. And then?
And then they came right up to me. One of them spoke.
Good evening, he said. A little late for a lady as pretty as you to be all alone on the Sundial Bridge at this late hour. What are you doing here?
I noticed he was wearing a T-shirt which said, Frank Salvage. I told them I liked to be alone and liked to look at the fast-flowing water under the bridge.
She just wouldn't shut up about that fast-flowing water. Doris, I'll be right back. At my age, trips to the bathroom were frequent, but this was getting ridiculous. When I returned, Doris was no longer in the chair. She was standing by the window, staring out onto the streets of Redding. Moonlight shimmered in her long blonde hair, making it look almost like a waterfall. I again inventoried the items on my desk to make certain she hadn't messed with them. The pen, cigar, ashtray, and bourbon were right where I had left them. Some names you can trust, and this was one of them. Sorry about that, Doris. Go on.
I thought they were going to kill me, or kidnap me, or do something horrible like that. But they didn't. The same man spoke again.
Well, sweetheart, you shouldn't be out here alone at night. You can't trust people these days. Best that you move on and forget that you saw us here tonight.
And did you move on?
Not at first. I was angry. Don't call me sweetheart, I admonished them. I have a name, Doris Derriere. The man replied,
Okay, Doris Derriere, best to move on. Have a good night, Doris Derriere.
So, did you move on?
I did, just like they said.
So what's the problem? Why does a nice girl like you need a dick?
I'd prefer you refer to me as a woman, Mr. Dick. My days as a girl are long gone. The problem is that I foolishly gave them my name, Doris Derriere. I am the only Doris Derriere in Redding. They probably know where I live and may even be spying on me.
So why not go to the police?
And I thought you were a good private detective, Mr. Dick. Can't you deduce that if I went to the police, those thugs would come after me? My dead body would probably be the next thing they were throwing in the river. I need protection, Mr. Dick. I need you to find some way to keep those goons away from me.
I thought it over for a few seconds. This probably was not up my alley. I am not a bodyguard, I'm a dick. But as Doris stood by the window with moonlight in her hair and her green eyes staring longingly at me, I didn't want to get rid of her just yet. Okay, Doris, guarding bodies really is not my forte, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll look into this to see if I can find out what those guys were really doing on the bridge, and try to determine whether you really are in danger.
Would you, Mr. Dick? That would be great. Just great.
I informed Doris of my fees, $150 a day plus expenses. Typically, I ask for a $500 retainer, but in this beauty's case, I waived it. She agreed to pay, gave me her address and phone number, and left me to my cigar and bourbon. Well, I told you I was a pretty good dick. It didn't take me long to get to the bottom of this caper. Doris was observant and remembered the T-shirt on the guy that spoke to her had on it Frank Salvage. I tracked the business to a junkyard on Highway 273 in Redding. I cased the joint for a few nights and tracked what was going on. Two guys would take junk and toss it in the river. The body Doris thought she saw was just junk. They were litter bugs, not murderers. When I was certain I'd solved the case, I called Doris and asked her to have dinner with me at In-N-Out. I wanted to impress her. She agreed. I got to the restaurant early. I wasn't sure what Doris would like to eat, but since she agreed to meet me there, I deduced she liked meat. So I took the liberty of ordering her a burger, fries, and a shake. I got the same for myself, but made my burger a double. When Doris sauntered into the place, all I could focus on was her. Blaring over the loudspeaker was, "Guest number 939, your order is ready." That was my number, but they had to repeat it 5 times because all I could see or hear was Doris.
In-N-Out is my favorite place. How did you know?
I'm a dick, Doris, and I'm good at what I do. I told her what I'd learned and that she had nothing to worry about. She seemed at ease. We ate our burgers, dipped fries into the tiny ketchup holders, and sipped our shakes, all the while staring into each other's eyes. I decided then and there to waive my fees. It didn't take long for Doris Derriere to become Doris Dick. It's funny where one finds love. In my case, it was at an In-N-Out in Redding.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That was The Dick by Charles Finkel, a fine example of some of the work that we get from local writers.
What a great play that was.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lily, thank you. I'm sure Charles out there would thank you, too. As I was saying, we do serious theater. We do comedy. We're going to give you another example of something a little more serious in a moment here. The point I'm trying to drive home is we do all kinds of theater, and if you're listening and this sounds interesting to you, think about contributing. If you like to write, well, we could sure use some more scripts. If you think you'd like to be a voice actor, that's another possibility. This is all about community radio, and this is what we like to do. So let's listen to another one. I think it's going to be called The Mirror by Victoria Pettit. Here we go.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
We don't need those.
I have to take them.
Don't grab the bottle.
Shut up! Please. We're supposed to be getting better.
These pills aren't going to help. Don't you know that already? It's all a lie.
I need these pills so I don't hear you in my head.
No, you need me, Evan. There's no way you'll be able to function out there without me.
Yes, I can. Even Mom said I
Mom?
Was.
Mom? Mom? She doesn't know you like I do. She doesn't understand anything about you. She doesn't even love you.
Yes, she does. She told me.
She hates you, Evan. From the second you were born, she hated you. Those pills won't change any of that. They won't change who you are, who you really are. They won't make her love you.
Stop saying that!
Just five more minutes! What about Lizzie, huh? Do you think she loves you?
Well, yeah. She's my sister. This hair!
Pills won't fix this.
What about algebra last year?
Yeah, what about it?
We were about to have another episode. And then we took our pills and everything went back to normal.
Normal? That's funny.
I'm serious. Just listen, okay? What about that football game freshman year? The stands were so crowded and we were getting thrown around so much. It wasn't a safe environment for me, for us. But these helped.
Yeah, I remember that game. We weren't ready for that kind of social interaction.
And Mom told us we shouldn't have gone. She cares about me. About us. These pills help.
If you take them, though, I go away. I won't be there to protect you. I don't think you can do this on your own.
I can. I'm okay now.
Are you?
I think so. I need to do what's best for me.
For you? What about me, Evan? I am a part of you, too.
You say you want to protect me, but all you do is bring me harm.
Throw the damn pills out. We don't need it. You only need me, Evan. Damn it. You need me.
No. 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 I don't need you. I don't need these. Stop. Please. Just stop. I won't take these. I'll do whatever you want. Just stop.
Flush the pills.
All of them?
Yep. No more. From now on, we're in control. Not the pills.
I don't know. Is this really a smart idea?
Now!
Okay. Okay, fine. What now?
I'm in control now.
What? Wait, I thought you said you... We were in control. Wait!
Well, I hope you enjoyed The Mirror by Victoria Pettit. Rather intense little script that we got from Victoria. She was a student at Arizona State when she turned it in, or when we got it. So the next one we're going to treat you to is, it's called The Tanner Hyde Search for Truth. And it's all about Bigfoot. People call in about their sightings about Bigfoot. And, well, Lily Dubois and me, Jim Dowling, we are the primary script writers at this time. But this is designed for the public to get involved. You just write a script about a Bigfoot sighting. And we all take it very seriously here. And we turn it into a radio show. So you're going to hear... one of our Bigfoot call-in show, Search for Truth. You know, it's just a spoof, of course.
You mean these aren't real call-ins? These aren't real people talking about their real experience with Bigfoot?
Oh, Lily. Well, after the show, I have something to tell you. Anyway, let's get to the show here.
Santa Claus doesn't exist.
All right, let's get Tanner Hyde and the Search for Truth.
Don't touch that dial, friend, for you have arrived. Shazam! This is the Tanner Hyde Show. The place, probably the only place, where you can share with the world that rare, one-time experience you've had but kept to yourself. Why? We all know why. This world wears blinders. It refuses to entertain the idea that there are many mysteries out there yet to be solved. And that, friend, is what sets you and I apart. Not that we swallow every crazy tale that comes along, but we are receptive to the unexplained and unproven. So, friend, share your story here on the Tanner Hyde Show, where you will be heard and respected among a community of open-minded listeners. Alrighty now, let's kick things off tonight. Am I excited? Oh, you betcha. We have a very special guest here in the studio. For the Sasquatch crowd, she needs no introduction. I give you Ellen Wheels.
Thank you, Tanner.
My pleasure. Professor Wheels is recognized as one of the world's foremost experts on Sasquatch, and she has graciously accepted my invitation to come here and answer your calls tonight.
I'm a huge fan of your show. I'm honored to be here.
Let me say that you aren't exactly what I expected.
How so, Tanner?
Well, you being a researcher, a scientist, how do I put this?
It's okay. I get this more than you know. Men, in particular. You thought, as a world-renowned academic, I'd look more conservative? Frumpy, wear glasses, be shy, diminutive, the stammering librarian?
I'll just say yes, I was surprised to see you when you walked into the studio.
I would like to think a woman in this day and age can look any way she'd like without someone insinuating that it's inappropriate or some other nonsense. A woman should be proud of who she is. Self-esteem is so important. In fact, that's always been my message to all the young women who might be listening.
You are absolutely right on, Ellen. So, I'd like to let our listeners get to know you. Tell us a little about yourself.
What would you like to know?
Well, heck. Why don't we start with how you got interested in Sasquatch? How did it happen? I bet there's a story there.
How much time do we have?
Much as you want.
It's been a lifelong passion, Tanner. Long as I can remember. As you probably already know, I'm from Trinity County. And as a child, I loved to roam the woods.
All by yourself?
Yes. My parents brought me up to be independent.
All alone in the woods. That's got to be scary for a little girl.
Well, I guess I'm different. I wasn't scared. The forest has always been my refuge, a place of discovery, endless exploration. But I often felt I was being watched. You hear things, you catch glimpses, but you're never quite sure. And it's more than a feeling. You know you're being watched.
So many listeners have described that same sensation. They know they're being watched.
Exactly. Over time, I began to feel a kinship with something I knew was out there.
Amazing.
This went on for years.
Until one day?
Yes. One day, it finally happened. I came face to face with a Sasquatch. I was 10 years old, walking along a trail in the forest. The encounter was momentary. We surprised each other and froze. The two of us stared at one another for a few seconds, and then he, or she, ran off. I ran too, straight home to tell my parents. They tried to assure me it was the invention of an overactive imagination. I'd grow out of it, they said. It was difficult to handle. My own parents didn't believe me. Later, I confided with a friend at school, but big mistake. It got around. I was the crazy kid in class.
Mind if I interject?
Well, no, go ahead.
This is the problem we all face, isn't it? People can be bullheaded. They can't admit the possibility. All right, so you're face to face with Bigfoot. That must have been frightening.
More like exhilarating, like meeting an old friend. If he had wanted to hurt me, I wouldn't be here.
Remarkable. Thank you, Ellen, for sharing this amazing story. Before we get to those calls, let's talk about this book you've been working on.
Yes, Me and the Wild Man. I've been working on this project for 2 years. It's been quite the labor of love, quite literally.
Funny you should say that. There are some rumors swirling out there. I'm telling you, they are absolutely crazy, Ellen, but...
Tanner, it's all right. I'm well aware of the rumors.
You are?
Yes, I am. And it's unfortunate. Contents of the book were supposed to be kept confidential until publication. Someone I trusted has leaked part of the book.
You're not saying...
I'm saying they're not just rumors, Tanner. I did have a close relationship with a Bigfoot. It was brief, but oh so real.
Well, don't leave us hanging, girl!
Who?
That's Bud. He works the board. Our sound man.
Hi there, Bud.
Well, did you or didn't you?
What's he talking about?
You did the nasty with the rock ape?
That's over the line, Bud. Jesus.
Sorry, Tanner. I mean, it won't happen again.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear those hurtful words. Ignorance is at the very heart of prejudice and all the misconceptions Bigfoot has to deal with. The day will come when none of this will seem extraordinary. Even guys like your sound technician will cease labeling him as the hairy man or rock ape. It's so dehumanizing.
But if it's true, well, of course it's true. Why, it's extraordinary. Ellen, can't you tell us more?
Sorry, but they'll just have to read the book.
A relationship. What kind of a relationship?
It's in the book.
Intimate with Bigfoot. Serious. You can't keep us guessing.
The book, Tanner.
Right. Okay. Well, friends, I guess we'll just have to buy the book. Gotta say, though, that was a hell of a sneak preview. Whew. Are you ready to take our first phone call, Ellen?
Ooh, this should be fun.
I'm calling from Bernie, California, and I want to talk to her, that lady you got with you.
I believe the professor is ready to take your call. Ellen?
Yes, sir. You have a story for us tonight?
I sure do, Miss Ellen Wheels. I got one hell of a story.
Well, don't hold back, sir. Tell us about your encounter with Sasquatch.
I know you.
What? Did you say you know me?
That's what I said, Ellen Backstabbing Wheels. I know you.
Tanner?
2015 raffle at the community hall in Round Mountain. Somebody goes home with an autographed picture of Willie Nelson and someone doesn't. That ring a bell?
You aren't Carlisle Tate.
Carlisle Tate. Yes, I am. Tanner, that woman you're all busy bragging on stole my raffle ticket when I wasn't looking. Took home my framed and autographed picture of Willie Nelson.
Now, I don't know what's going on here, and I'm not sure I need to.
But she stole...
Let's go to another call, shall we?
Please.
Thank you for joining us tonight for our first show on Odd Thursday. Remember, we are on the air because of you, because of your community support of KKRN, listener-supported, volunteer-driven community radio. Now, we have been on the air for about 4 years, and as such, we have a whole lot of folks to thank for sticking with us while we learn and continue to learn how to do radio theater. There are so many that it's not possible to name you all. First comes Opportunity, and we would like to thank KKRN staff for taking on the show, committee members and other volunteers for all that you do to keep it rolling. Thanks to Dickie Magadoff for commuting in to be the voice of our show, Terry Orwig for commuting in to perform, Randy Compton for writing a good play. We would like to especially give a shout out to John Welsh for keeping us alive, especially in the beginning. When we began this project, Elsie Ritchie was our artistic director. She had a vision, and she had the experience. Jim, Lily, and I were students, and we didn't have enough time with her. She didn't live to celebrate the first anniversary of our being on the air, but John stepped up and guided us along, and we have survived, and I hope we keep getting better. Thank you, John. We would be nowhere without the writers of the scripts of the stories we tell. Our go-to writers, and we'd like to add you to this list, have been Joe Graceffo, Darren Abersall, Chris Gomez, Charlie Finkel, and our own Jim Dowling and Lily Dubois. We've also had great scripts from Lisa Collins, Tanya Stedman of Moonstone Bistro, Reagan and Linda Reagan, Randy Compton, and others. A big part of our mission since we began this project is to provide an outlet for writers, directors, and actors. So far, the directors and actors have come out to play with us, and we've had fun. We invite some writers to step up also. You can email your original scripts to scratchedupradio@gmail.com. And then there are those who have directed our show and the actors who have come in and put the meat on the bone, so to speak. For a while during COVID, we may have been the only game in town. Thank you all for coming out to play with us, and thank you all for listening.
It's too darn hot.
It's too darn hot.
I'd like to stop for my baby tonight
and blow
my top with my baby tonight. I'd like to stop for my baby tonight and blow my top with my baby tonight. But I'd be all flop with my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. It's too darn hot.
Too darn hot.
It's too darn
hot.
I'd like to fool with my baby tonight.